Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. My guest is Mary Higgins Clark, the Queen of Suspense, who's out with her latest book, You Don't Own Me, which she co-wrote with Alifair Burke. 5 years ago, Dr. Martin Bell was shot and killed as he pulled into the driveway of his Greenwich Village carriage house. The case went cold. The victim's parents believe the doctor's widow, Kendra, is the killer, so they turn to Lori Moran of the television show Under Suspicion to investigate the case and prove their suspicions correct, but things are not always as they seem, and potential suspects emerge as the television show digs into the case. Mary, television shows that investigate cold cases, such as Under Suspicion in the book, how do their investigators differ from those who are in law enforcement?
Well, perhaps they have more wit to investigate the backgrounds of the people, the odd circumstance that makes them look more to something that seems absolutely cut and dry, and then of course the motivations, which can be the reason a crime happens. When you see how in some cases, sadly, someone is in prison for 30 years and he didn't do it, and the so-called witness was lying. An Under Suspicion series would be the kind of program that is looking for where the lie came from. It's an interesting concept, and I've thoroughly enjoyed doing it.
What resources do these television shows have available to them that law enforcement doesn't?
I wouldn't say that they're not available to them, but maybe sometimes they're missed, or maybe a witness may seem to be kooky and actually is not, because we do see the reversed verdicts after 30 years, which, can you imagine spending 30 years in prison for something you didn't do and then coming out to a world that you don't even recognize? I mean, I can't think of anything more horrendous, and yet we seem to see it all the time. Or perhaps when a person is missing and simply can't be found, the true programs series will often have someone looking where everyone else didn't look to find out what went on. I like the concept a lot.
It seems like these shows, the premise behind them, can be shut down if people just refuse to talk. Is it that simple, or what tools do the television shows have to get people to talk?
Well, of course, it's kind of a way of presenting it differently. In this book, Kendra, everyone believes that Kendra has murdered her husband. Her parents go to Lori and say, please get her to talk on television because we're sure she killed our son and we want to take custody of her grandchildren. And when Lori persuades Kendra to go on the program and starts investigating, she finds a whole different situation than the one that is believed in and rocketed by the newspapers.
Do you think people are more likely to talk to somebody who's not wearing a badge? And you know, because they're almost strangers. It's kind of like sitting by someone on a plane. Those people will tell you things they wouldn't tell their best friend.
Yes, it does happen like that. You know, the old saying is, see a psychiatrist or see a bartender. There's a certain amount of truth to that, where you will talk to a perfect stranger something you wouldn't tell your best friend.
So many books and novels today, crime novels, deal with DNA, things like that. Your books never got into that, and I think it makes them a lot more suspenseful. Is that how you find when you're writing?
Well, I've just not wanted. I never wanted to do overt sex. I just never felt it was necessary. And some of the ones I read, I feel as though I've stumbled into someone's annual physical and I don't want to be there. So that's one thing. And I never do on-camera violence. You know, if someone is coming up the stairs, you're alone in the house, the locks are on, and then you stumble for your cell phone and it slips out of your hand and slowly the door opens. I'd rather write that kind of suspense than he shot her in one eye to see the expression in the other.
You mentioned a cell phone, and it brings to mind, as your books have matured over the years with society, how's technology changed how you've handled these stories?
Well, of course, technology has changed. The first time, the first book I wrote, Where Are the Children, there was no cell phone. When one friend says to the other, you've got to go to the police, you've got to, I know where she is, they can't call each other. And of course, in these days, you have to have a cell phone in your back pocket everywhere. And of course, now they can trace a cell phone to see where the call came from. So you've got to be up on all of this, obviously. And when the first texts were able to come out, you have to be on top of that and know whether or not they can be traced. If you make a text from a library, as of a few years ago, they couldn't trace the source of it. So you simply have to be aware. You can't be a babe in the woods when you're writing something that people will be sophisticated enough to say she doesn't know what she's talking about.
The murder of Dr. Bell in the book created a tabloid sensation in New York City, and that's why everybody sort of pointed to the wife and from the very beginning to Kendra. But what is it about the media in New York that crimes like this get sensationalized for a period of time and then they're forgotten?
Well, the media in New York, particularly the Post, they want sensation. They're after sensation. They'll pick out a sentence from something and turn it into three pages. So a newspaper like that papers all over the country. If there's one in the city who likes to write like that or features that kind of crime, then of course they'll blow it out of proportion.
Does that ever help the investigation, though, in any way?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. They're more interested in the drama of it than they are in actually giving all the facts of the case.
Something I've always been interested about is I've read your Under Suspicion series. Lori Morgan and anybody that she's worked with, including her now fiancé, Alex Wagner, they never even talk about ratings or thinking about what is going to be interesting to a viewer. They're more interested in solving the case. Is that by design? Because I've got to think that people in the media business, their first goal is to get ratings and tell an entertaining story.
Well, as you say, Lori and Alex are interested in what is going on and where is truth. Well, the newspapers, again, some of them, some of them are, but others are only interested in the headlines. And they're the ones that will blow something out of proportion and then find out it's a lot quieter than you realize when you read it. The difference between some newspapers that objectively give the facts and others that don't. Well, it's also the same way it is on media. I mean, Facebook and any one of the ones that people write on and tweet on, they want sensation. They don't want, good morning, I've had a good day, I hope you've had a good day too. You know, that doesn't make people want to keep reading.
Lori and Alex are now engaged in this book, and Alex is being sworn in as a federal judge. And I know you have children who are judges, who are in that profession. What insight does having judges in your family give you into the complications that arise for someone who is married to or engaged to a judge?
Well, I know, I mean, yesterday my daughter's a Superior Court judge, and it was Labor Day. But, no, was it Labor Day? No, of course, it was Veterans Day. But it's a day off. She spent the entire day in her office because she has a wiretap case coming up, and it's been going on for years, and they never stop fighting about it. So she said, I have so much reading to do because I'll be on the bench on Wednesday, and I have to refresh myself. And judges, especially criminal judges, they don't think of holidays. They often are so filled with a calendar that they have to give their own time to take care of it.
Are you still drawing on actual cases from the New York and New Jersey area for murder ideas at this point?
If an idea occurs to me, I mean, I watch the newspaper to see if something is coming up that I think there's a story there. And I only use the DNA of the case, not the actual every minute business, but there's something that captures me. And I think, I've got to watch this, I've got to think about it. And thank God it's happened to me for 50 books.
Well, you know, you've been writing for so long, you know, 100 million plus books in print. What is it that inspires you to still do interviews with a little radio station in Sioux City, Iowa? I mean, you don't have to do this.
No, well, people ask why I'm still writing. I'm pushing 91, for God's sake, on Christmas Eve. But the other part of it is when they ask those questions, my answer is, one, I love to write. Two, I get very well paid to write. Don't you think those are good reasons?
Absolutely. Now, as you've written suspense over the years, how much of the suspense is created in the initial writing versus the editing and taking out things that just don't make the story flow?
Well, the first 50 pages of any book I consider a disaster. The characters don't work, the plot is rotten, nobody will ever want to read this. And my husband and I were married 22 years ago, widow and widower. And the first year, he said to one of my daughters, I'm worried about your mother. The book she's writing is no good. She's throwing it out the window. And Patty said, well, for God's sake, we've heard that for 30 books. But the anxiety is real when I start.
All right. Well, this book is no exception. It is just fantastic. It's You Don't Own Me by Mary Higgins Clark, co-written with Alfair Burke. It is available now wherever your fine books are sold. Mary, thanks so much for joining us once again to talk about your new offering.
A pleasure to be with you again, Brian. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. You don't know.